Hello, I'm Javis Lewis, and in this episode, I'm going to show you how to create reflections in your character's eyes. That is usually caused by light sources that are fairly close to the character. So we can see that from image-based lighting, as well as parametric lights, as well as from emissive surfaces. This was a question by Biscuits3D. Hello, Biscuits. Nice meeting you, and greetings to Holland. I believe I've picked up a Dutch accent there. Very good. My father was from Holland, which explains my rather complicated and outlandish last name. Vers Lewis means off the lock, I believe, doesn't it? Anyway, if I got that wrong, I do apologize. But anyway, she was asking, can you explain how to create these reflections in eyes? And sure, I'm very happy to do that. There is one thing that we need to understand, namely that is where they are coming from before we continue. And knowing that will mean we can easily recreate them in characters. So most often we can see those reflections in eyes of people who are photographed in a studio, because studio photographers usually use fairly large light sources that are fairly close to the model. So I'm talking 1 to 2 meters away from the eyes. And those light sources, like, you know, windows and soft boxes and strip lights and ring flashes and all that kind of thing, when they're close to the cornea, or basically the shiny bit in the eyeball, then you get a reflection there. And we can recreate that in DAS Studio just as well. You get them from the sun as well, but usually the sun is very small in the sky and doesn't often appear as a big light source in the image. So that's why in outdoor scenes the light tends to be very diffuse anyway. And unless you're looking directly into the sun and somebody takes a picture of you, then we hardly ever get to see those reflections. They're very popular with manga artists, who kind of draw them in as a stylized version into the eyes to emphasize that there is a highlight there. But we're going to do that in a photorealistic setting with the DAS Studio iRay, or the NVIDIA iRay rendering engine in DAS Studio 4.10. I'm saying 4.10 because there's a beta of 4.11 available, and it has one funky addition that we can make use of, but I haven't installed that on this system yet, so we're going to stick with 4.10. It's just going to work just as fine. So let's see how we can do that. First of all, I'm going to head over to my Smart Content tab, and I'm going to go over to Figures, and I'm going to bring in the Genesis 8 Basic Female here. Just by double clicking on it, I'm not going to go into any morphing details. All I will do is I will head over to Wardrobe tab, and with her selected, I will choose the first outfit that happens to be in my list, which is the Bardot outfit. It's a wearable preset, so it'll give her the top, the skirt, and the shoes with one single click. That's very exciting. And we're also going to give her some hair. So in the hair tab, there's again the first hair that comes across in my mind here is the Armani hair, available from the Armani Exchange. Terrible. And what type of item is this? I'm just going to go, it's short hair, and hit accept. Excellent. Let's head over to the texture shaded viewport here and make sure we create a camera for this as well. We can leave the perspective view as it is and create a camera. Apply the perspective viewport, then we'll change over to the camera and we'll zoom right in. In fact, we can probably make that a bit easier if I just go right click and select her head. I can use this little square icon to zoom into the head a bit easier there. And notice that when I move the figure now, that's just the figure. I would like, since I have to find a camera, I would like to point the eyes at the camera. So that makes it nice and easy for the eyes to always point at the camera, and it's going to make it a nice little effect there. So with my camera selected in the scene selection tab, I can head over to the parameters tab, which I've parked over on the left-hand side here, and head over to camera. And in fact, no, not at all, actually. What am I talking about? I'm going to select her left eye first, or perhaps her right eye. It really depends on, is it camera left or camera right? And under, with that eye selected in the parameters tab, I'll head over to MISC and choose point at the camera here, camera one. And I'm going to do the same with the left eye, with the right eye, with, let's say, the other eye. It's difficult, isn't it? Camera left, camera right. And I'm going to do the same thing here. Pointed at the camera. It appears as if nothing has happened, but you've just seen the kind of the eyelashes pop into place there. And if I now go and just select her head again, and now try and tumble the figure around, you can see that the eyes kind of pop into action here, and they will always look at the camera, a little bit like the Mona Lisa. So there, that's, you know, that's kind of cool. We're also going to give our girl a little bit of an expression here under pose controls in the head, in the expressions. Perhaps I'm just going to make her smile a little bit, just a little bit. This is often a bit much, so just to give her a tiny bit of an expression, maybe like that. That's kind of nice. Okay, I'm going to zoom into her eyes, kind of deliberately here, because that is what we want to focus on here, these two things. So right now I haven't actually touched my scene. Let me bring that up in the auxiliary viewport here, switch that to iRay, and also let's render the camera here. So always we get a little preview that way of what the rendered scene is going to look like. This doesn't have any lights in it, you'd think, but there are two default lights in the scene, in every scene, that we have to take care of and understand why things look the way they look. So the first thing is that there is an image-based lighting in there, which we can see under the render settings, under environment. It's always enabled. The environment map, this is something called ruins, and I believe Das put that there so that we have some kind of default lighting that looks kind of okay-ish. It's nothing dramatic, but it certainly adds a bit of realism to it. But in order for us to see what's going on, we really need to get rid of that and kill that in a moment. Actually bring that in up in the large viewport here so that we can see what's happening. So it appears that without doing anything, it appears that we already have these two highlights in her eyes. But if we want to influence them, it does help to understand why they're there and why they look the way they look. Well, right now we have this. Right now we have two light sources in our image, and the first one is the environment map, which gives the shadows a bit of a softer look and kind of illuminates the image from all sides. And there's also a highlight in there, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. For now, we're just going to switch this thing off and let's just switch that to zero. That will get rid and kill the environment light altogether. But as soon as the viewport springs back into action, we will see that the image looks a little bit darker, but we can also see that those two highlights are still there in her eyes. And what's going on there? I thought we had just turned off all the default lights. Well, this is now the second default light in our scene, and that happens to be the camera's headlamp feature. And that's usually switched to auto. So if we go and select our camera in the scene tab, under the parameters tab, there is a feature called headlamp. And if we have a look at that, it's currently set to auto. There's also on and there's off. And the idea behind auto is that if you don't have any parametric light sources in your image, so not the IBL, but other parametric lights like a spotlight, a point light, and so forth, the ones that you can create under create new point light, spotlight, or linear point light, distant light, those types of things. As long as there are none of those in the scene, then the headlamp auto means that there is an artificial light source mounted on top of the camera, so that even if you don't have lights, you can still see where you're going and you can still get a bit of an impression of what your scene is going to look like. We don't really want that, so I'm going to go and I'm going to switch that off for now. And now we're going to get a completely black scene. That's perfect. That's a good starting point for us. So the first thing that we can do is head over back to our render settings and switch our environment map back on. So 2 was the default there. You can either type that in or go to that little gear icon and hit reset. And then that'll bring our environment map back, but no headlamp in addition to that. So they would have worked in tandem there. And with that enabled, we can see that in a moment that we have the lighting back, but our reflections in the eyes have kind of gone away. We can use image-based lighting to create that reflection. All we need to make sure then is that the actual light source is pointing to somewhere towards the front of the character, so that the light source has a way of shining into the eye so that can be reflected and picked up by our camera. Currently, as we can see here, that's not quite the case. There is something happening in the eyes, but you know, it's not that kind of reflection that we're looking for. So the way to do that is we can either rotate the dome here under environment, under render settings, environment, under dome rotation. That'll rotate the whole dome on which that kind of IBL is mounted and kind of projecting into our scene now. Or we can just use the dome's Y rotation, that is also, that'll be the same effect. How much we need to rotate that is a bit of a trial and error thing. So let's just try and do this and see when those reflections are coming back. I'm basically looking for that hotspot in the image. So whatever, I guess it's kind of a light sun set behind the ruins there, that white spot in that image, that is what I'm looking for, and trying to turn it so that it appears from the front of our character. But because I don't exactly know where that is, I have to kind of, you know, test where it's coming in. I guess it's coming here, just turn that over a little bit more until we can see that. So literally that hot spot here, the white bit in that IBL, that is now kind of coming into view at the opposite side of our scene. So if we go and flip that around a little bit more, then at one point we should be able to make out where that is. Could also be that it's from here. It literally is trial and error. There we go, that's it, about 110, something like that, 100, 110. That's where we're going to get that reflection. And if you look closely, this should now more or less resemble whatever's in our image on the other side there. So that's one way of doing it. Notice also what happened to the whole lighting of the character. So one thing that we can see now is that the character itself is kind of illuminated from the front, flat front, very soft shadows here under her chin. And that gives that kind of gives it all a very flat look, so it's not very dramatic. So you can use other light sources to accentuate that, but that is certainly one way that you get your eye reflection going. One other thing, speaking of the eye reflection, if I go and select my Genesis character here, let me just close that down, select her, I can never exactly remember where that is under the parameters tab. Let me just have a look under literally everything. There's a parameter called cornea bulge, their eye's cornea bulge. So what that is that the front bit of the eye, that's technically the cornea, the shiny bits kind of, I guess, encloses our eye, or it's kind of at the front of our eye. We can make that bulge out, literally like this. So it kind of comes out and therefore changes the way the reflection is shown in the eye. So we can also crank that up. So watch what happens to the reflection. Don't go overboard, don't go to 100%, that may make those reflections slightly weirder. It doesn't change the character's appearance so much, but it will certainly change to a tiny amount what the reflection in your eyes looks like. So it's another parameter to play with, see if that's something you want to apply. So it's something that may let you enhance the reflective effect if you're after that. This will work in any of these modes that we're going to talk about. So right now, this is the image-based lighting, and I'm just going to set that back to zero, and you kind of get the picture. If you do see a change, you know, that's a good place to play with in the other two modes. So eyes, cornea, bulge. I'm going to go back to my render settings and switch the environment map back off, because now we're going to recreate the same effect with, or a similar effect with, different type of lighting, and that's the parametric lighting. So let's go and switch back to the perspective view here, and I'm going out of the NVIDIA Iray mode for now, and I'm going to go and create myself a new spotlight like this. I'm going to apply the active viewport transforms, and I'm going to go and zoom out there a little bit and around the figure. With the light selected, I'm going to head over to the parameters tab, and I'm going to clear out the cornea, the word cornea, or the whatever search term there was. And under misc here, I'm going to go and point my light at the Genesis figure. Not so much the complete figure, but her head, because that's kind of where I'd like that light to shine, as a portrait light. And there's the head. Boom. And the good thing about doing it this way is that if I go and move my light source now, pretty much like the eyes of the figure and the camera, if I move that around, the light source is now always going to point at my character, no matter where I put that, no matter how high, how low, how left, how right I do that, how close, how far away, it's always going to point at the character. And that's kind of groovy. So I'm going to put that light here and maybe put that a little bit higher up, and perhaps a little bit closer to the character. There. So now, this may be slightly too high still. We're going to have a look at that in a moment when we go and see the rendered version, and see if that actually has any effect on our scene. So I can see it's kind of doing a tiny bit, but obviously not enough to for us to get a picture there. So with that light selected, with the spotlight selected, I can head over again to my parameters tab and head over to the light options, and I can see kind of several things here. First of all, let's have a look at the area. I'd like for this not to be a point light, I'd like for this to be a rectangle light, so it'll kind of emulate photographer's softbox. So rather than it being a point, it'll be like a rectangle, and we can set the height and width with these two parameters here. I'm going to leave that at 10 for now and head over to the photometrics tab. And here I can say how strong that light is supposed to be. The default value of 1500 doesn't really get us anywhere, so I think we're going to have to kind of crank this up considerably. Say 20,000 is kind of a good starting point. It's still not really kind of there yet. Let's start 50,000. What was that actually? 500,000? That's a little bit much. There wasn't 50, 1, 2, 3. There we go. That. It's kind of getting there. Perhaps it's why not just use a default value DAS that will actually make sense rather than one that we have to constantly adjust. That's a good starting point. 100,000 is a good starting point. And you can see that the reflections that we're getting here, they don't really show up just yet. So we need to bring that light down a bit. But thanks to the pointing at the figure, I can see that my light source will always point at her head. So that makes my life a lot easier. If I make that point at her from more like the front, then we can see that we're beginning to see those two reflections in her eyes there. That's nice. I'll bring that closer to the figure even and see what the effect is. Yeah, okay, that makes it a bit stronger, so we can now tone that down perhaps a little bit, say 50,000. Okay, good. Let's see if we wanted to change those points in the eyes further over to the right, then all we need to do is make sure we shift that light source slightly further over to the right. So now it's coming right from her front, and look at what happens to those reflections. They move accordingly in the other direction, and this is how we can influence where those lights are coming from, at the expense, of course, at what it does to our character. So look at the shadow underneath her chin. That's a very it comes from different directions at the same time. Oops. So make sure that is actually a desired effect. If we make that light come from this direction, then the shadow is coming from the other direction. So that's one of those things that you can look at and work with. Also, the direction further from the top, further from the bottom, that will change where these highlights come from. Obviously, this is a bit of a kind of a Halloween scary light from the bottom, and the shadow now goes up, but the reflections also are at the bottom of the eye. So depending on where you want them, it's one of those things. I'm going to show you something else while we're talking about parametric lights. I'm going to switch my large viewport over to the NVIDIA Iray shaded viewport, and I'm also going to go and select the camera here so that we get that as a large version. If I were with the light selected still, have a look at the shadow here. This is kind of medium soft, I'd say. So it's a little bit soft. It's not extremely harsh, but it's kind of harshish. You can see that here as well. That's kind of the shadow that we're getting. In our area of the light, we can make that bigger or smaller. So look at what happens if I put that up to 50. So default is 10. If we put the height and width up to something like 50, then we can see that the light intensity is almost a little bit reduced, but also the softness of the shadows is increased at the same time. So now you can, if you wanted to recoup some of that light strength, you can either increase the, under photometrics, you can increase the luminous flux to maybe 80,000 to keep it at a different, kind of at the same brightness level. But you're having an influence on how your shadows are coming out, i.e. a little bit softer. And you can see that you can also see how the reflections change as a result of that. So they're now about this size. And if we go back and actually change everything back to a little bit less light and, of course, a little bit less of a size, let's see if that has an influence on the size of the light. All I can see is that the lights are slightly smaller, but they're also a little bit harsher, whereas with the larger version of the lights, the highlights were a bit bigger. So there's another thing to look into. The other thing I can see here is that these eye reflections are round in nature. So no matter what light geometry I appear to pick here, I've picked rectangle and it looks like the reflections are still round in nature. So that's something to keep in mind. If I change this to something else, then the effect that I'm getting doesn't actually change. I don't really know why. They should change, but they don't do that. So if you want to emulate the kind of square things or any kind of other shape, then we're going to have to go down a third route, and let me explain that now. It has to do with creating a primitive and then using that as an emissive surface. So let's see how we can do that. First, let me go back to the texture shaded view here, and I'm going to also switch that over from my camera to the perspective view again so I can go and fiddle around. I may just delete that spotlight for now and create a primitive. So in our case, I'm going to go and create a plane with maybe 1 meter size. We don't need to worry about division, so one will be fine in this case. Here it is. That's the plane. That's going to emulate our softbox here. So let's put that into position more or less to where the other spotlight was. Shouldn't have deleted that, should I? It's one of those things. Just going to rotate that around this maybe 45 degrees exactly, and then I'm also going to rotate that around the y-axis by 45 degrees. Not the y-axis, I'm so sorry. I meant the z-axis, of course, there. Cool. So that'll give us something like this, kind of a twisted square that shines at our character. And we put that off to the side a little bit, and we'll worry about the exact position perhaps in a moment, and we'll see how the position of that kind of full softbox is gonna reflect in her eyes now. The important bit is that we're gonna turn this surface into an emissive shader. There is a new feature in DaStudio 4.11 that's kind of interesting to know about. I just thought I'd mention that here. Currently, when I create a primitive, it always has the 3D light properties as surface properties defined. But from 4.11, it'll have whatever render engine is selected up here. So if I have selected iRay, then it'll have the iRay properties already set. And if I've selected 3D light, then it will have the 3D light properties set. So it's just something to keep in mind. Currently, it's not going to be a major issue because we're going to change the surface of that primitive anyway. So select it on the surfaces tab. Make sure you select all the surfaces that you want to change. So either everything in this case or default won't make a difference. And then head over to presets here and head over to shaders under iRay. You can see the emissive category here. And if I double click that, that'll turn the surface properties of this thing into an emissive property. That also means I can't deal with it in the parameters tab anymore. I need to go to the surfaces tab to change the properties of how the light is emitted there. So if I do that, open default, which is one of the surfaces, well, the only surface that we currently have, under the emissions tab that's now defined, we have the light properties that we can now set. So in our case, let's make sure we're going to use two-sided, only because I don't know which side the normals were coming out of. So it kind of depends. Two-sided means that the surface emits light from both sides, or basically the primitive emits light from both sides. Right now, I don't know if I set it to one-sided, I don't know if it shines the light through here or through here. Just setting it to both sided, it was going to make my life a bit easier here. Then we have the luminance units, candles per square meter. It's one of those things. We can change this to something more appropriate, perhaps watts, and probably 15 watts isn't going to give us a lot to look at here. We can have a look under camera, and then we change this to iRay again and see what comes up. 15 is probably too low, and the emission temperature is probably going to be a little bit low as well. It's going to give us a bit of a yellow tinge, but we'll see what the preview comes up with here. There we go. We can kind of see what's happening. It's coming together, but 15 watts. Let's just change watts into 100 watt and see what that looks like. There we go. That's more light there. We can probably do with a bit more even. But first of all, let's change that red glow from 2900 Kelvin to something along the lines of maybe 6000. All the sixes. That's kind of cool. So that's kind of a more like a daylight thing. Maybe a little bit too blue. Maybe, you know, around 6000 will be a good value to begin with. And we can now see that we get to see the reflection of our square, in fact, of our tumble square. So if you look really closely, you can already see the actual reflection of that surface. So no matter what shape that has, if you reflect it with a primitive or any kind of other surface, then that is exactly what's going to be reflected. So if you want something of a simulation of a ring flash, for example, you can build that. You can literally have a kind of an arc that literally reflects that. You can create that in Blender, bring that in, or any other 3D modeling application. And then you can literally emulate any kind of shape as a reflection in the eyes. If I spin my surface around, I head over back to the parameters tab. If I wanted to cancel that rotation out like this, then I guess I'm gonna have to go over to my tool settings and not use the world coordinates, but use the local coordinates. And then I can probably just rotate this around, what is it, the Y axis here, isn't it? Yeah, let's try that. So the Y axis by 45 degrees should give me something like that. Yeah, perfect. So now I've got it on an angle just like before, and this should now reflect in my eye reflection here, not as the tumbled softbox anymore, but as the straight up square softbox. Let's see if I'm right about that. Yes, it looks like I am from what I can just about tell here. We now get a square in the eyes here. Let me see what happens if I bring that plane closer. So with the plane selected, I'm just gonna use my aux viewport for this so I get to play with the actual position of that softbox here. If I go and bring this softbox closer to my subject now, let's see what happens now, closer and perhaps slightly further from the top. And first of all, we're going to get to see that the effect is that the light is getting stronger because I'm bringing the light source closer to my object. But I can also see that the eye reflection is getting larger here. So now that I've moved this closer to my subject, I'm getting larger reflections in her eyes. And then in turn, I can go back to my surfaces tab, and on the emissions tab, I can just turn this value down. So if this is now a bit too hot for me, I can perhaps make it 80, and then the light intensity is just gonna be taken down a little bit further. But the reflections and the size of the reflections are gonna stay in place. And here we have a look at the final render. I've turned the luminance down to about 65 watts now so that the skin doesn't burn out entirely, but we still get a decent amount of reflections in there. I may link to the actual scene file and the full image in the description if I do find the time. That may not happen overnight, but you know, in a few days that link may appear there magically. I hope it's gonna be helpful to you. And I hope, Biscuits, this explains the eye reflections in some detail and the three ways that you can recreate them in your own images. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, then please leave a like on the video, subscribe to my channel, and don't forget to join me next time for more Schnickschnack and shenanigans. Take care, bye-bye.